A baseball game, a day in a park with friends and family, fishing in a remote stream, work, travels, providing for loved ones, or heading out for adventures. Whatever you do, whatever you enjoy, you need your health. The original Guide to Men's Health is presented by the Washington State Urology Society to help take you through the steps necessary to get the most out of life. If you have invested in a retirement plan for your future, why not invest in your body? After all, it makes better sense to retire healthy and enjoy your future. These podcasts are a guide for how to take care of yourself. If you take care of your car and maintain it, why not do the same for your personal machine, your body? If you know you should but haven't yet, the information in these podcasts contains some easy recommendations for where, when, and how to get started. Follow the podcast as we explore men's health with renowned experts and embark on a journey towards better health. On this episode of the Original Guide to Men's Health, we'll be continuing to explore health inequities, particularly among African American males and black males. We'll be speaking with John H. Gregory, founder of the National African American Male Wellness Agency, and Victor Tolbert, director of the Pacific Northwest chapter of the National African American Male Wellness Agency, and Kiwan Lawson, the national director for the National African American Male Wellness Agency. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to start with Mr. Gregory. John, do you want to just explore a little bit about your history and your story of how you came to found the African American Male Wellness Agency way back in 2004? So, John, go ahead.
2004 is when I got an idea. Actually, to be honest with you, I wasn't even doing a health project as well as I was trying to figure out. I was doing a workforce project, and I was trying to make a determination. So I did a research project. I was trying to make a determination why African-American men were having a difficulty going to work and keeping a job. And so what I did was I guaranteed 100 young black men that between the ages of 18 and 35, that if they came to work every day, that I would give them a job. But the part of what they had to do was we wanted to figure out, did they have health issues? And so as long as they, when they came to get their paycheck, they had to get a health screening. And after about 120 days of doing the project, what we found out was that 90% of these guys, remember, between the ages of 18 to 35 were ill. They had high blood pressure, they had high glucose numbers, they had high cholesterol numbers, and then their BMI was out of whack. So therefore, the flag went off to say that the reason why the average life expectancy of an African-American male was 67 years old, because African-American men got sick early, but they didn't go to the doctor until it was too late, which was later in life, where their conditions had already elevated. Out of that, we started having some conversations on a monthly basis with black men about how we could change the paradigm of the things that around health. And one of the doctors came to us and said, you know, black men are dying and nobody really cares. And so it kind of correlated with what we were doing. And somebody asked me, they said, John, so what are we going to do? Well, here's what we knew. Black men were not going to go to a, they weren't going to their doctor. They're not going to a workshop. They're not going to a summit. They're not going to do any of that. So I was like, well, what do we need to do? And I said, well, what do white people do? And at that particular time, I looked and seeing what white folks do, and what they do is they have walks. And so I said they have the breast cancer walk, they have the swim for diabetes, they have the walk for liver, and they have the walk for everything. And so I was like, well, we need to go do a walk because you know, that's what people do. And to show you how ignorant I was about walks, the first walk we had, it was a 5-mile walk. Because I didn't know people did 5Ks. All I saw was 5. And so the first walk we did, we gathered, I called a bunch of guys up from different fraternities and told them I had a commitment. from different fraternities to walk. And they were like, okay, called some churches up, told them that I had some churches involved. So the first walk we had was about 700 men showed up to walk. And the men were so excited about the opportunity to walk that after they walked, they were like, we got to do this again. And I was like, nah, I'm going to be doing this again. But it was really exciting. The men were walking. They all walked 5 miles. And at the same time they were walking, they were calling the news channels and saying, hey, if we were shooting each other, you would be coming out here filming us. Afterwards, you know, the men convinced me to do it another year. The next year we had 1,800 men show up. And so as they talked about, do you want to do this again? We said, if we're going to do this, we're going to have Black men show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, then we should probably add health screenings. And the third year we added health screenings. And I think the first year we did like 200 something health screenings. And of that, we had to take men to the hospital emergency room. It was very evident the men had high blood pressure. 80% of the men who we screened had high blood pressure. We had men who had prostate cancer. We had men who had to go to the emergency room right from the screening to the hospital. And so there in line, from that point on, we started doing the walk annually. And the focus really was to do the health screenings. And so in 2019, we had over 30,000 individuals show up. It's a big community affair. We have health screenings. We did over 4,000 individuals health screenings. We have every hospital system involved. We have every managed care system involved, fraternities, churches, what have you. And then we had a guy like Victor who moved to Seattle and who had a great idea that he wanted to bring it to Seattle. And so in 2019, we hosted a walk in Seattle and a health screening, and it was a really phenomenal event. And every city that we've done it in, 16 different cities across the country, in every city we've done it in, people are always amazed at how many Black men we get to participate and get involved. And so this year, we went from being an initiative and changing our name to the African American Male Wellness Agency. And so we have a focus of what we do, like 6 different areas where we're focusing in on. And one of the biggest areas is mental health. So here we have evolved from just walking 5 miles. Now we really are walking 5K. And in every city, we're making an official 5K so men get timed. But we make it free. We have 3 things we're focusing on is know your numbers, go to the doctor, and start moving. And we're in the midst of doing a research project in partnership with the Ohio State University Medical Center. So we're doing a lot of good things that come out of it, but we're really trying to have a focus on making sure that Black men understand the need to become healthy.
So when you founded this, this was initially the walk and the initiative where you're Ohio-based. Then after time, you've opened this up to chapters around the country.
Well, really it's people who came to the walk from other cities who decided that they wanted to do it in their city. And so that is normally how we get to other cities, is that we don't go to a city and then try to conjure up a walk. We go there because somebody lives there who's participating or seen it, and then they want to do it in their city. So yes, we are now do other events in other cities.
So Victor, you came from Ohio. You started the Northwest chapter. Give it a little history about sort of what you felt. So you know, you were so excited by what was happening back home. When you moved out, you said, I got to continue this, or how did it develop in the Northwest?
I've always said, because I was the person out of my group of friends that actually moved around, actually was always traveling around the world and traveling just in different states. I lived in several different states. And I always said, once I get grounded and I know I was going to be somewhere and where I was going to live at, I wanted to help push this initiative out more and help start it in a state to help push the awareness out for men, for our Black men. So once I knew I was going to be here in Seattle, I was trying to figure out the right way to get everything started. And then it just so happened that I personal trained two young athletes, and it happened to be a city, it happened to be Bothell's a city council member of Bothell. So I got to talking to him about the African American male wellness walk, and I showed him some videos and stuff. He said it's a great idea, and he asked me, he was like, well, would you like to do a presentation in front of the rest of the city council members from all around the shorelines, Bothell's, Mercer Islands, Kent, all the surrounding cities, because you know here is very spread out. And I was trying to figure out the right way to go about it, because it has to be like planned out very well here, because the Black communities are spread out around the Seattle, Washington area. We initially talked about it, and I met with the city council members. I talked to them via phone, and then Mr. Gregory and a few people from the Ohio team flew out here, and we did a big presentation in front of about 15 city council members from around there, from around Washington, Seattle area. And from there, they loved it. They understood the need for it, especially within the communities. And from there, it just grew. And then the initial planning and everything from there started up. So it's been a building block ever since. And it was just a great venture. Was something that I definitely wanted to do, something that it was just very important for me to be able to help spread the word, to help encourage our men to be more healthy and to be more active and to actually know their numbers so that we can live longer. So it's just, that's the pride and joy of me, is especially coming from a unhealthy family. One of the things that actually made me push forth to do this a little more was throughout the whole process, prior to my brother, he had kidney failure. Kidney failure led to him having like blood clots. He flatlined twice. Then he got his toes amputated on his right foot. And then he started going blind in one eye. And then he just had several issues after issues. And I knew prior to younger, he wasn't taking care of himself. He was just doing too much partying and stuff like that. And I talked to him several times about being active and just getting his body together. And that just really helped me push forth more with wanting to pull this initiative out this way. And I knew that we're on the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, and it was gonna be the first one out this way. So I was just like, man, this would be a great opportunity, a wonderful venture just to help push the content and bring this narrative and pull everything out this way, so that way we can spread across the US instead of not just being on the East Coast, the Midwest and the East Coast.
John, how do you engage the community? How do you accomplish outreach in a video that we see or YouTube of a cat playing the piano? I may get 1.5 million views, and here you're doing something so important for men, and you're going like, we're doing this great thing. How do we get it out there to the community? So what resources do you have, and how have you let the message get out to engage men who might not really engage into the healthcare system or be doing the things that you're trying to get them to do to take care of themselves?
Well, one of the things, and let me say this, is that Victor did an absolutely fantastic job of bringing the walk to Renton, Washington. And, unfortunately, we all can't look like Vic, because Vic looks like a muscle model. But him bringing the walk there gave us an opportunity to really put a footprint in that area, and particularly to let African-American men know that they need to become more healthy. And I think that what we pride ourselves on is that African-Americans are relational. And so we take a very grassroots approach to getting the message out, and we create messaging that goes not only from social media, but we actually go into neighborhoods and communities and pass out information cards. We have billboards, we have street signs, walks, yard signs, and we do a lot of speaking engagements to churches. And so we're in the community. And so the conversations that when people talk about what's the big, like in Columbus, Ohio, the largest event that happens in the Black community is the African American Male Wellness event. And so everywhere you look, you're seeing our footprint. And so we try to do that in every city that we go to. We have commercials, and we get TVs that are sponsors, and we're on the radio. So we're messaging, but we're building relationships. That is one of the reasons why we build relationships with the fraternities and the sororities, and we build relationships with the churches. And so we're making sure that message is getting out. And what we're doing is African-Americans can feel comfortable with us because they see other African-Americans participating, particularly men.
So in the engagement, you're getting messaging out regarding how to take care of yourself, disease processes. Are people following up and actually entering into the healthcare system?
Yes. What we know, particularly in Franklin County, is that the increase of number of men, doctors have said that the increase of them seeing their African-American participants is incredible. And like we're doing a research project, and what is known is that African-Americans don't really participate in research projects. And right now, you know, what normally would have a 20% participation rate, we have a 75% participation rate. So we know that through this, and in our events, you know, Black men see this as their opportunity to get their health checkup. So while, you know, they didn't go to their physician, they do come to the walk to get a physical.
With the events and the messaging within the community, do you have any particular materials that you have prepared where if somebody's listening to this, they can access something that or find you? You know, how do you have folks contact you?
They can go to our website, which is, somebody help me.
AAwellness.org.
AAwellness.org. They can go to our website. If they go to our website, they will see all kinds of information. And during when we're marketing the walk, we have all kinds of information go out for the walk. And so there is an access to information through the information that we pass out. Or if we're doing particular programs. So we do other things. So we do a Cooking with Dads program. We do a mental health, What's Up Bro, mental health piece, where we have a big meeting with African-American men to talk about mental health issues. We do a fatherhood program. So we, during the course of the year when we're doing other stuff, we're also pointing to African-American men, the resources that we have for them to participate in.
Excellent. Victor, you're an athlete, a personal trainer, a coach. You're a motivator, and you get other folks to listen, to participate. It's part of your personality. What are some of the challenges you found, though, in the community when you've gone to men and say, hey, you need to do this?
So I would say the biggest challenge is really getting men to open up to the aspect of really getting going to the screen and getting checked out, because we don't like to go to the doctor. And when we do, we feel like they're just charging us extra money, a lot of money to come in just to say, oh, here, and just give us a prescription and get out. So a lot of men don't really trust going to the doctor. So this was really like opportunity to see, like, to really see the community come together, to see men in the community actually get screened together, because of the way we are, we're more hands-on, we're more visual people. So when we see each other going to the doctor together, we're more likely to do it. We're more likely to go get checked out because we see each other doing it, instead of one person is going to go and then we're going to keep talking about it. And we're going to keep talking about it. And then we don't end up going because we'll procrastinate like crazy. The other thing, what we do, what I found to do is actually get the women involved, have the women talk to the women, let them know, your fathers, your brothers, your cousins. And then also, hey, there's going to be some guys out here, ladies, you're single, come on out. So that's the way, just kind of get keeping everyone involved in the community. That's how you kind of help motivate each other and push them along, because we're stronger together than we are apart. And so many people do so many things like this. They want to be separate. They don't want anyone to know that they have high blood pressure. They don't want anyone to know that, oh, I just got diagnosed with colon cancer or things like that. And it's too late because we feel like we're too prideful. And that's one of the problems. So really knocking down that barrier of being too prideful, and then coming together, and we all doing this together, and we're all being healthier together, so that way we can be here for our families. So that's just the biggest challenge, I would say.
So you have an event, the Pacific Northwest Men's Health Week, coming up November 15th to the 21st. I hope this will be an annual event. And for your local chapter, how can people find out about the event and what will you be doing during the event?
During the event, this year is going to be on Zoom. So we actually been trying to, we've dialed it back a bit. So we're definitely looking to do the Cooking with Dads via Zoom, which is going to be a great opportunity for us to get the community involved, because we didn't get a chance to do the walk with the pandemic going on. We didn't get a chance to actually do the walk this year. So we still want the community to know that we are here and that we still have a voice within the community, and we're going to continue to push the narrative and push the and support for the Black men's lives and to help us continue to grow. We have a couple speakers for prostate cancer. I believe it's going to come on Zoom and talk, and we have one more speaker coming on.
I think we're hoping we can help you find some speakers on colon cancer, HIV, AIDS, diabetes, cardiac disease, and hypertension, and perhaps COVID-19 issues. It's a challenge always to put information out, but it is something that I think with the numbers that Mr. Gregory was talking about, if we can continue that messaging and help you, we'd like to. For the community, I was listening yesterday to Johns Hopkins, University of Washington. It was a long webinar on preserving the scientific integrity of getting to COVID-19 vaccines from clinical trials to public allocations. And one of the speakers was Michelle Andrasik. She's a PhD and affiliate assistant professor of global health, environmental and occupational health sciences at the Fred Hutchinson Research Center. And she's a lead behavioral scientist. She'd been working on HIV vaccine. But she yesterday said that one of her mentors, one of her professors, had said that when the United States gets a cold, people of color get pneumonia. So the challenges that your community has with disease are lack of insurance, disproportionate illness issues with access. So you can bring a message. And John, you were talking about, you're emphasizing mental health. One of the issues we have in the Northwest is there are very few Black mental health professionals. So again, you have this huge challenge to get the information out, dispel prior biases, and then actually access. So is your organization doing something to improve access?
Well, I think that part of the access is creating an awareness. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities out there for African Americans to participate in the health and health arena. 80% of the guys that come to the walk have health insurance. Now, do 80% of the guys use their health insurance? Our experience says no. So what we are trying to do is create a total awareness campaign so that we can reduce what Victor talked about was, one, our mistrust of the medical system. You know, and it's really amazing to me because I'm older, and I was asking one of the younger gentleman that works with me the other day, I said, how is Joe still talking about Tuskegee experiment? Where did you get that from? So that is something that is still very prevalent in our community, is the Tuskegee experiment and why Black men don't feel like they can trust the medical system. The other thing is that the implicit bias that goes on in our medical system, getting us to participate in something that we know where there's that implicit bias. So what we do is we're trying to create just a total awareness that, and we know that by creating an awareness and by making sure that we guide African-Americans even to Black physicians or a Black healthcare system where they can feel more comfortable in getting their interaction, we know that's what creates a greater success of their participation in their healthcare.
And as we are in a very different world with COVID-19, you bring up a significant issue in that there's a disproportionate effect of the virus on your community with a disproportionate number of infections and disproportionate number of deaths, particularly in older Black males and Black African American males. The desire to get a vaccine trial into that community is there, yet are you finding that people are suspicious and not wanting to participate in vaccine trials, and are you trying to encourage men to do that?
Well, now you asked a hard question. And you want me to go on probably saying the answer to this? I can just tell you that African Americans just are very skeptical of the, and that's Black women and Black men and Black old folks and young folks. And you could, I mean, and you've heard the story is that they're having a very difficult time in getting African Americans to participate in the trials. Most African Americans I know ain't, that we already said we're not taking the vaccine. Because we don't, it's just not enough information. And, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I mean, and I think that, you know, the other thing is when you look at places where you get a positive test and you get a negative test and then some positive negative test, I mean, it just looks so skeptical. And I think that in time, we will come around to feeling comfortable about taking the vaccine. But at the initial, I don't think we're going to participate in. You're not going to have an overwhelming number of African Americans running to take the vaccine. And that doesn't mean, I mean, that also says that, you know, it doesn't mean that if things get more pressured or if the disease looks like it's more prevalent, I mean, that might change the perception of what it is. But, you know, we've been talking about health disparities way before COVID. So health disparities in the Black community is nothing new. And I think that the other thing is that you know, there's so many stories out there that, you know, people really didn't die of COVID. They died of a heart attack, but the health system wanted to make money, so they coded it as COVID anyway. So I think that we got a long way to go before we get to the place where African Americans feel comfortable taking the vaccine. But however, we are in an awareness campaign that COVID is real. And so that's why we probably to date have given away over 100,000 masks. And we do a campaign that says, quit tripping, put your mask on. We are talking about building your immune system so that you can be build your immune system against contracting pneumonia and what have you, since we are more prevalent in getting pneumonia. So we are creating those campaigns, and we are trying to make people aware that COVID is real. Now, you know, when it's real, getting to the vaccine part, and I've been approached about asking us to help with the messaging of taking the vaccine. I think that we still have to wait and see what happens as it relates to when the vaccine gets released and the ethics behind it.
As we wrap up, have some final thoughts, and then I'm going to ask again where people can go who are listening to find more information, a website or other contacts.
Yeah, and just to shed some light on clinical trials, I used to work for Gilead, and one of the things that it's a pharmaceutical company in the world of HIV prevention and treatment. And, you know, Mr. Gregory spoke to this. It's not just the vaccine with COVID that, you know, there's a low representation of Black individuals in clinical trials. And with that said, it's throughout any, you know, look at any medication and you will see that, you know, either A, they were not somehow identify within a study, or there's such a small representation that their studies, they may not be statistically significant because they don't have a large enough pool to prove that the medication is effective or inadequate or inferior to other medications. But when you look at the top 10 leading causes of death, I mean, we're looking at heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries, of course, homicide. You know, we're killing each other. So we have to, that's a national crisis that goes unspoken, right? Stroke, diabetes, chronic respiratory diseases, hypertension. I mean, you know, we look at the top 10, these things are preventable, right? And the reason why, you know, we are faced with these issues is, you know, Victor spoke to it earlier, is that we don't want to admit that we have something, but, you know, as Mr. Gregory said, there is some sort of medical mistrust that's going on. And quite frankly, one of the things that I really applaud, even before working for the African-American Male Wellness Agency, is that when you go to the walk, you see Black doctors, you see Dr. Gray, you see Dr. Joseph, you see Dr. Nolan, right? Black people, Black doctors who are promoting health, who are getting the men into these screenings. And because of that, our clinical trials that we have going on have over 75% retention rate, which means that out of the 100 that started, well, roughly 100 Black men that started, over 75% of those men are still active in the research today, right? And so that's credit to Ms. Dana Lavender, of course, in The Ohio State University. But we don't see those kind of numbers across the board. So this is the reason why, in part. This is the reason why, because we know that we're facing these comorbidities. And so being the solution to those problems, to prevent diseases before they occur, to address these mental health issues, to address these physical health issues, financial health issues, we are constantly doing that and remaining engaged in on a mentorship side, remaining engaged in our young folks' lives, so they understand the value of their life and what they mean to each other and ultimately what they mean to us and God, right? And so if anybody wants to learn more about our agency, please, please, please go to aawellness.org, or you can text 31996 from any cell phone and it will connect you directly to us. So again, aawellness.org, which is our website, and 31996. Of course, we have social media. So if you Google African American Male Wellness Walk, you're going to see all of our social media profiles come up. But again, AA Wellness is the hub, aawellness.org, and the number to any cell phone, 31996, will connect you directly to us. Victor, did you have another contact for you?
Oh, no, that's just a direct contact. That'll really pretty much be it. We'll be good with that.
Additional resource sent to us is in Preventive Medicine Reports 19 in the year 2020, 101151. The Association of Ideal Cardiovascular Health with Self-Reported Health, Diabetes, and Adiposity in African American Males. Well, I'd like to thank all of you, John Gregory, Victor Tolbert, Kiwan Lawson. Really appreciate it. I appreciate the challenge. I just love the energy, the effort, and you're getting a response. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us. And I just want to say, if anybody wants to get in shape, make sure you call Victor.
Yeah, Victor, stay on the line. I'm going to get your number.
Sure.
This completes another podcast chapter of the Washington State Urology Society's original Guide to Men's Health. This is Dr. Richard Pellman reminding you to take care of yourself. The Washington State Urology Society wishes to thank all contributors who volunteered their time and knowledge. The information presented is the opinion of the speakers. The Society also wishes to thank Sean Fox for his invaluable technical assistance. Music theme, San Juan Bells, written and performed by Dr. Dave Weidig. The podcasts are the property of the Washington State Urology Society. Reproduction and use without the express consent of the Society is strictly prohibited. For more information about men's health, visit wsus.org or visit your physician or care provider.